It's time for us to talk Bruins, and to do that, we turn to our friend Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. Hi there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Pretty well, thanks. How have you been since last we spoke?
Pretty good here. It's finally, we actually have some more stuff to actually talk about. For a while there, it felt like we were talking about breaks and long layoffs, and now here we are. They're almost caught up with the rest of the league, so that's nice.
Yeah, a lot of things going on here. First of all, let's go back a couple of days. Nice comeback that fell short against Tampa Bay in a game like, well, it felt like the Bruins deserved to win that one for everything they did.
Yeah, definitely one of those games you really wish you could have gotten the extra point. But I naturally look at the positives. You're down 2-0. You're without Brad Marchand and Charlie McAvoy, the latter of which was sort of a late scratch from the game. And you come back from being down 2-0 against the best goalie in the world. So I'll take that point every day of the week if I'm the Bruins. It leads you towards a split with Marchand out for a 3-game suspension. You get 3 out of a possible 6 points. So I thought there's a lot to build off with that game. Not the result you want, but ultimately I think a game like that may pay off for this team down the line in terms of building chemistry, camaraderie, you know, the believability, the attitude you kind of need to be a legit contender in this league.
Now, the roster got a little thin there for a few days, but now we're getting some people back. Some new people have arrived. Does all this speed the process of finding a partner to trade Jake DeBrusk?
I mean, it definitely should, right? You have Marchand back. You're able to make calls to Providence. They're out of lockdown that they were in with the COVID restrictions. So this should make finding a partner easier, but the Bruins aren't going to take the first trade available. They want to make sure they get somebody who they believe can help their team right now, whether that's a forward or a defenseman. We're going to have to wait and see. But ultimately, I think that the trade will come sooner than later. They don't want to drag this out. They still have a lot of respect for, I think, DeBrusk as a person, so they know he's not happy and this isn't working, so they want to resolve it. But they want to make sure they're not selling to the first bidder, but selling to the best bidder. And so I think they're trying to figure out what that is and where that leads him. I would imagine it's out west, personally, but ultimately it comes down to what the, you know, what, where the best offer is coming from.
The goalie situation continues to be interesting. Jeremy Swayman, I've been playing pretty well of late. Linus Ullmark makes it clear he's not going anywhere. And then there's Tuukka. But as you pointed out, why would anybody not want a veteran goaltender with a fairly low salary, which is what Tuukka Rask is looking for?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that when people are quick to dismiss the idea of bringing Tuukka back, I think they're being short-sighted, and I think they're being sort of spite-driven by the fact that they don't like him for whatever reason. But I think ultimately it's not a bad thing to have depth, especially in net. I think arguably that's where you want it the most versus anywhere else, in my opinion. So I look at this roster, and I see Ullmark, a guy who's trying to find his footing here. I see Swayman, who's impressive but is still a rookie and has some rookie mistakes and rookie nights, if you will. And then I look at Rask and say, okay, well, you can use that, right? And I think especially look at the schedule down the stretch. We know that there's a death march ahead of the Bruins, right? They have 35 games, 60 days or something crazy like that. They may very well need all three goaltenders. And I think ultimately if your third goaltender or one of your three can be a guy like Tuukka making low money, he's already said he's not going to be an expensive goaltender, you'd be crazy to say no to that. So I think ultimately it's a no-brainer for the Bruins and why he's going to ultimately be back with this team.
And if that happens, Jeremy Swayman's got options, so that's the easy decision.
Yeah, exactly. He can go down to Providence. He can play just about every day, every game. He can work on some issues that he's had, positionally, rebounding, things of that nature. They have a good system down there with Mike Dunham, is works hands-on with their goaltenders. So he'd be going to a guy that the Bruins trust, clearly, in a system that they believe in, and with minutes, right? I think it's different than sending, you know, a forward down or a defenseman down. I mean, a goaltender's got to face, he's got to face shooters, he's got to face shots. And I think if this is a way to keep him active, I don't see the harm in it, honestly.
And we love the idea of a couple of former Black Bears and Dunham and Swayman working together.
Yeah, absolutely. And you throw Tromax in there, and now you got a real main two cooking.
We're talking with Ty Anderson of the Sports Hub here on Downtown. Well, as the team gets ready to head west, it looks like no Bruce Cassidy, at least for the early part of that trip.
Yeah, as of right now, he is not going to be joining the team. He's still figured out of COVID protocol. He's feeling better. His symptoms aren't nearly as bad as they were when they first started, when he first landed in the COVID protocol, rather. But he still has to, I think he has to have a few more negative tests before he can rejoin the team. What's interesting to me is I'm actually not sure if he'll be able to just rejoin the team middle of the trip if he clears protocol. He might be able to, but is that feasible with crossing the border and getting in and out? So that's worth watching as well, but it sounds like it's going to be Sacco at least for one more, maybe three more games behind the Boston bench.
As we get ready for this Western trip, how do the Bruins shape up and how do they match up, starting with Vancouver on Wednesday night?
Well, this is an interesting trip, right? Because you have Vancouver, who they're playing tonight. Their first game with Bruce Boudreau back behind the bench. He takes over for the Fire, Travis Green, that happened last night. So you're gonna expect some jump in their game, right? Boudreau's teams always have some high energy, some high pace their play, and they're going to want to start off on the right foot underneath the new coach. So that's worth watching. And then I think with Edmonton and Calgary, this is a good matchup for the Bruins, where you have two teams that beat them in the last month. I would say the Calgary game had some high intensity as well from the Bruins' point of view, some things that bothered them about their game. So a chance to get on track here with some revenge wins, if you will. So I would expect a really good showing from them. It really is, for the Bruins, a matter of health. Right now they're going through an illness bug, or non-COVID related, but that's going to be a test for this team. But ultimately, I think that this is a nice little stretch here to build off what you were able to do in Tampa and against Tampa and in Nashville, where you can try to string some wins together here, but also find out who you are and what you are and what you really need moving forward.
It's been an interesting season, a lot of stops and starts for this team. Obviously, the COVID situation, some injuries, then the schedule. What's been the biggest contributing factor to them being unable so far to develop any lengthy, consistent run?
You know, I'd say the schedule's a big part of it, because you're trying to go from 0 to 60 multiple times over the course of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And if you ask players, they want to play every other day, every 2 days, whatever the case may be. They really don't want to do these 3 and 4s followed by 5 days off. That doesn't really fit the idea of getting your body in rhythm, getting your timing in rhythm. So I think that's been a big factor. But I look on the back end as well, where none of their pairings have really clicked outside of Riley and Zboril, where you're watching them and you're like, all right, there's something here, but it's not quite what you need. So I think if they can figure out what that first pairing is and what that second pairing is, it'll make a world of difference, because that's sort of the backbone of this team, right? That defense, knowing where everyone's going to be, knowing the roles of all three pairings, I think will go a long way. So they got to figure that out, and I think once they do, and if they do, I think you'll notice a big difference in their nightly consistency.
Ty Anderson writes about the Bruins and more for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ty, appreciate it as always. Great talking with you, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Awesome. Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ty. We're talking Bruins here on Downtown.